The Strokes. Is this it? Today, we are doing an episode on that exact album. And this will be a music podcast brought to you by Go Home Heat. Is that correct? Hosted by me, Ray, and
Jared.
And
I'm not hosting.
Okay, cool.
You're the guest.
KP.
You're the reoccurring guest.
Yes.
Contributor.
Yes. This album, incredibly important.
Kind of fundamental for the way that just rock
indie,
and roll...
Just indie in general.
Just indie in general.
And like, when this album dropped, Last Night and Someday were the big singles that came out. And everyone was like, oh, this is crazy. And then they just started by, like, indie stuff. Like, White Stripes come to mind. Arctic Monkeys come to mind. Even, like, Neutral Milk Hotel got popular because of this album. If it weren't for this album, a lot of those MU, Pitchfork, those type of crowds would not be as popular as they are today within music circles.
It formed a bridge to a lot of the smaller.
An interesting piggyback off of that is sometimes when you have a watershed moment for a band getting signed, it creates a certain small sound that is important. And people go look for bands like that. In this particular case, they just went and looked for indie bands, which meant you had many different types of music coming into the record label fold.
If you take, say, Arctic Monkeys, White Stripes, and like I just said, Neutral Milk Hotel, those sounds are all vastly different. Like, Arctic Monkeys is more Britpop influenced. White Stripes is a blues, and Neutral Milk Hotel is kind of their own thing. They're acoustic, you know. And what I find fascinating is Neutral Milk Hotel and The Airplane Over the Sea came out before Is This It. And a lot of these albums came out before Is This It got popular because of Is This It.
Yeah, as soon as you go,
it had coattails for sure that people could ride on.
And rightly so, in all honesty.
And I think a lot of the appeal from this album comes like, okay, I'm going to sound like a nerd, but from Weezer's, like Weezer's Blue album, how you could have made this album. And like Weezer's Blue album, or even like most punk records, if you want a mainstream example, Dookie, you can make that record and there is a connection there because it does have relatable feelings of being tired of just life beating you up in general.
Just somewhat disillusionment of modern urban youth life.
You have a group of Manhattanites.
Manhattan, don't call them that. Don't call them...
Julian Casablancas as the frontman.
Which is a great name.
Dude, it's so cool. That dude was made to be
straight
a front man.
And you know what's funny? He was wasn't he the kid of like a record executive? But he actually wasn't a record executive. He just owned like a record store, and people said that he was an industry plant because his dad owned a record store.
Well, there was a record. There was Casablanca Records. So you could see where somebody could get all that mixed up. You know what I mean? Kind of screw it all up. He owned a record store. No, he's with Casablanca Records. Oh, wait.
Hey, wait a second.
No, that's not.
No.
It. No.
No.
And the Strokes have been, and their kind of discography has been very known as, from the mainstream, of course. Many people like the second album, Room on Fire. A lot of people dislike a lot of the stuff in between that. Their most infamous album is certainly The Come Down Machine. And their most recent album was, to me, actually, a really cool... It's the first album since Is This It that I can separate from Is This It. And that's possibly the highest compliment I can give it.
You feel like they were macking on their own flavor with some of their later albums?
Well,
or some of their albums after
this?
Well,
it's like, Room on Fire is Is This It, and because it's Is This It, it's still great, but it's not as great as Is This It. And the rest of their stuff, like... some of the stuff, sometimes they got rid of the effects and it really kind of wounded them. Some of them had some trash, some of them had some good stuff. It's very spotty.
Mixed
very
bag.
Spotty discography.
Okay.
And this is certainly, again, one of those bands that will always be overviewed by their debut album. Guns N' Roses.
Came out swinging on Is This It.
Yeah.
They really did hit that cultural moment, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So good. All right, Moving on to the questions.
Do we want to move on to the questions?
Yes.
Unless we want to name off some people who were also going to be overshadowed by their debut record.
We don't have to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Unless you just want
You just don't want me to say Guns N' Roses, do you?
You already did.
Yeah, I did.
You say it again if you want. Yeah. But now, okay, so how'd you feel about the opener?
The opener.
Self-titled.
Self-titled opener.
I think it is phenomenal. Yeah. I think it really starts the album off on the right foot with the emotions and the general feeling of asking a question like, is this it? Because when you get into being an adult in your early 20s and you kind of settle into how life is going to be, even if it's maybe a little inaccurate, you have to ask yourself, well, is this it?
Is this all it is? I've been looking forward to this. I thought this was going to matter. I turned 21. That was really cool. Now I'm 24. What?
I'm 24.
Is there anything left?
Not making connections like I wanted to.
Mm-hmm. And even
just the deeper feelings.
It's almost like, is this all?
Yes, exactly. It's is this it?
And mm-hmm. even if you can't relate to it, it does audibly have that sound of being tired. And
it also is you know exactly what you're getting into in this album.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
It is a perfect, both lyrically and instrumentally, example of where we're going with the record. You know? Okay, now, how did you feel about the closer?
Take It or Leave It?
Mm-hmm. I thought I liked the...
I loved the Casablanca's... how would you say? Yelps?
This, out of all of the songs on the album, felt the most punk-like.
Yeah, it
had a bit of an edge to it.
You're right.
And the almost like yelping is part of that.
The less of an explanation, more of a pointed.
Yeah.
Yes, pointed. Upset right. about something.
Frustration.
Rather than the general melancholy.
Not an explanation. A frustration.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And so we liked it though.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. How do you feel about Julian's vocals on this?
I think
the effects do a very good job of almost completely negating his flaws as a singer, and just
it really helps him.
Cause on some later albums, like for instance, First Impression, sometimes they kind of got rid of the vocals, and it's just like he just kind of sounds like gross on a lot of those, and that's not because there are no effects to hide his imperfections and his problems, you know. And I feel like the effects and just like the effects on this album in general are so good at kind of hiding Julian's flaws as a vocalist.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think you hit that on the head right there. Jared, you want to piggyback or?
No, that was about it. I was going to say that I think that the effects on his vocals and his vocals feel very authentic and add to the general feel of the album
I will also add to this, I do like his kind of... howls on songs like The Modern Age, where it is a very, you can hear it in his voice, and he's kind of breaking but not a lot. Okay, anyways, what's the next question?
Favorite and least favorite track. So what's your least favorite track on the record?
I don't know. I sometimes have trouble with this question. If I feel like the album is of, like, generally pretty even quality with some, you know, higher spots. I feel like this album is pretty consistent.
Right.
I feel like it's a little hard for me to point at, like, one specific album and be like, well, I don't think this one lived out. Because I think they all hit the average pretty well.
Right.
And I think there's definitely a couple songs that I really like.
Right.
But I don't think there's one that I would skip.
I would like to give a special shout out to the big three-song combo of Someday, Alone Together, Last Night.
Absolutely.
I think that was probably my favorite stretch on the album. I was going to say that. I think Last Night would probably be one of my favorites.
I love Last Night.
So good.
I can't help it. It stinks to always pick... It stinks when you wind up picking the radio hit.
Yeah.
You don't want to... You want to feel like
that guy.
Well,
Someday's a radio hit, too.
I'm that guy. You know what I mean? I know what's really cool about this. But it turns out that everybody was right on this. That song's really good. And nothing's wrong with the other ones.
No.
Like you said, the floor is really high on this record.
I also feel like... Go ahead. I really liked the solo on Last Night. That's one of my personal
favorite
solos of the 2000s.
The guitar work on this is unique.
So good.
I really love the way that dude plays guitar. Mm-hmm. I don't remember his name, but I think he's super underrated.
Nicola Frature?
Is that his name?
Or Fabrizio Moretti?
Fabrizio Moretti, Nicholas Frature, and Julian Casablanca.
They got some names.
They got really cool names.
Yeah, I do. I feel like I do need to shout out, because we do talk a lot about vocalists, but man, the guitar work was really, really good. Mm-hmm. The drums were really good.
The bass picked out when it needed to.
They're a sound together. It's a band.
It is a package, and they managed to write melodies and hooks that are great.
Right.
They get stuck in your head immediately. Like Soma. Right. Soma gets stuck in my head constantly.
Right. I also feel like...
There is something about this album that feels undeniably classic and iconic, because every song is so kind of cathartic with its energy and its brightness.
And everything serves the song. You don't have... Sometimes with... And I love virtuosos, but sometimes with virtuoso-style players, they kind of outdo the song. And everything here is purposely... into the song to push the song forward.
I love how his guitar, it kind of bridges the gap between crunchy and clean.
Because his guitar is a very clean sound.
Yeah, but it's also kind of, it has that just that little bit of crunch to it that I love.
Okay, did you want to go ahead and rate it?
God, I feel like I give every album an 8 out of 10. I almost want to give this one a 9, though.
You're going to give it a 9?
8.5.
8.5.
8.25.
8.25. 8 2/5.
8 2/5.
8 squared.
So I'm giving this album a 64 out of 10.
Yes. That's tough, because it's certainly one of my favorites out of 2000s. It is probably one of the best debut albums ever made.
Super influential. Opened the door for a lot of other people to walk through. A lot of other music to walk through.
This is tough.
What are you feeling?
8 to a 9. 8 to a 9.
I do agree with you that I said to him yesterday. I give it an eight. It's very good. It's just, I understand if somebody likes it better than I do. I also enjoy it. You know what I mean? But it is absolutely what they were trying to accomplish.
Oh yeah, in terms of like their vision in their head being translated onto.
And for this group of people, it's perfect.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just not perfect for me.
Yeah,
but it's very, very. I enjoy it. I don't, you know how I am. I don't want to poo-poo it at all. It's fantastic.
No. But like, man, I've been vibing with higher energy stuff in more recent times, so it's kind of hard for me to switch gears to that low energy, more melancholy thing.
But it kind of felt good to get back to it.
Yes, absolutely. Because again, a lot of the bands that had the door kicked open for them through this album, I really, really like.
Right.
I hear the slight influence in the sound on later stuff that came out later, and you know, roughly the same genre, indie.
Because, like you pointed out, it's a watershed moment. You know what I mean? Like they're the hot indie band. Hot indie bands isn't necessarily what we're trying to push. They get signed, boom, we have this huge thing. And then, like you said, they go back and you find these other bands.
White
and
Stripes.
It doesn't wind up being like when Seattle happens, you wind up with Creed and Puddle of Mud and all these bands that kind of sort of sound like they're trying to be that.
Yeah.
This isn't that. This is a watershed moment for a variety of different sounds, because they just go get indie bands and not go get an indie a certain sound. Like, they don't go, we're going to get the Manhattan sound, right?
I did want to talk briefly about there's two slightly different versions of the record, and one of them, New York City Cops.
Right.
That song got replaced. I did go and listen to it. Pretty good stuff.
Right,
it
got replaced due to 9/11.
Due to 9/11, right. Yes. Not great timing on that.
Right.
Yeah, right. Very poor, actually.
But I do like the song.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds really good.
Absolutely.
Guitar works.
And it's about the murder of a young man in 1999 by four police officers. And you can see where, in a time where New York Police Department hats, fire department hats, were selling all over the country because of what the country had gone through with the
9/11
tragedy, terrorist act, that they would pull it because that's the opposite of the... I remember we did a thing where they were talking about how many songs were suddenly pulled off the radio just to kind of keep people chilled as much as possible. It was just a really weird time.
Some of them were strange, like Obla Dee, Obla Da. What? Why would you? What? Was it the Life Goes On bit? Like what? Like I get some of them, like Aeroplane, but.
Well, I mean, it was a incredibly sensitive time.
Yeah.
But, Obla Dee, Obla Da may have.
But what did we give it? You gave it a strong 8 to a 9, right? Or 8.5?
Like a little over 8, I'd say. Yeah.
You gave it a 8.
8?
I gave it, I think I said an 8 to a 9, so an 8.5.
Well, if you gave it 8.5, then I'm giving it a 7.
I actually gave it a 6.
I'd like to amend mine to an 8.266666, repeating, of course.
Nice.
I'd actually give it an 8 2/5.
That's fair.
Fair enough. Okay.
Anyways, our actual scores were, he gave it an 8.
KP.
KP gave it an 8. Ray gave it, Ray, gave it a 8.5. Jared gave it an 8.5 as well.
I'll go down to an 8 if we do it by half. Because I think it's a little closer to an 8 than 8.5, if that makes sense.
Okay. Excellent. But we really enjoyed the week of listening to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And?
I know we got that.
We're going to go a little out of our box, a little out of, not our comfort zone, but what this podcast has been doing as of recently. We're doing a hip-hop album. This one's going to surprise you. The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill by Miss Lauryn Hill. This is one that, if my mom played to, like, my mom played that thing a lot when, like in the car, dad knows, big Lauryn Hill fan, Fugees was great, all that was great. We are going to do a fairly introspective hip hop album.
Dude, the Fugees were just such a influential band, both as a band and as, just as Wyclef separately from Lauryn Hill, separately from Pras, separately, you know.
Yeah.
It's just amazing what they were able to accomplish. And like you said, Lauryn Hill.
And this is by far the most popular out of, and Lauryn Hill is by far the most popular out of all of them.
She by far more popular than Wyclef.
Wyclef had his moments.
Wyclef is a genius.
Okay, but The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill is by far the most popular album out of all of those three.
Take it back.
I'll take it back.
No, I think that's true.
Yeah, that's actually...
Take it back.
That's actually very true.
I do think that. I do think.
Did we listen to anything cool this week?
I did. I did, because I wanted to try out... I tried out the new System of a Down.
Ah.
Which is crazy to me how that... I never thought I'd see the day they'd come back. Mostly because they had some political disagreements, and that's what their entire
band... Those things
band,
are hard to overcome.
Especially when your band is that politically...
Charged anyway.
Charged. And I think this album is about... Because there has been some stuff going on in Armenia, and they have, and System of a Down have worn their Armenian pride proudly on their shoulders. Some stuff has been going down in Armenia, and these new songs, Protect the Land and Genocidal Humans, are the two new songs. And I think they're pretty good. I think they do a mixture of Toxicity, Steal This Album, System of a Down, and Hypnotize and Mesmerize System of a Down. I think I do love the vocal melodies between Serge and Darren.
We did mention that Serge does not do the gymnastics that he once did anymore.
Well, he's older, you know. He can't always do those.
It happens to the best of us.
And I feel like...
This guy.
And I actually think I liked Genocidal Humans a lot more. Because it was a lot more leaning towards the Toxicity system.
Sabuga.
No.
I was going to make that joke. You have no idea how... I was like structuring it in my head, but you made it before me. That's fair. You do it.
This match was a... Not match, sorry.
Switched wrestling. Into wrestling mode.
Right.
Yeah, I have two modes in my brain for this podcast.
Serge is super over. Now, we did flip...
I was going to talk more about the... Okay, this was surprisingly... Genocidal Humans, the song I'm talking about. It was a lot more catered towards the Toxicity era, self-titled era, self-titled is songs like Sugar, Toxicity, of course, Toxicity, Chop Suey. It does lean a lot more towards that. I'm surprised about the blast beat, though. There was a blast beat section. It was very a kind of black metal-esque blast beat, which was, it's super pounding and heavy, and I love that about it.
So System of the Down does not, in fact, suck.
Nice. I thought that was
kind of a bold statement to make. I don't know about that.
I thought that was a joke.
It was a joke for years. Now,
No, it wasn't for years.
For a year, singular.
Yeah.
Now we went to the record store.
Yeah, we did
yesterday. The Revolver Records record store. I have been going there on Fridays with my guy here, Ray, and we thumbed through the Gorillaz.
Yes, album. Song Machine season one.
And we wound up listening to it on my phone, actually, on the drive home. Pretty doggone good.
Yeah.
They don't do bad.
Yeah, especially when you're like the Gorillaz and you can do features. Dad said this. You can just, like, get different people, and it's like De La Soul won't sound like Del the Funky Homo Sapien.
Which won't sound like Beck, which won't sound like Elton John, which won't sound like... So you wind up getting to have these neat mergers with a steady... But they're so good.
That's the strength of Gorillaz.
They're so good. Absolutely.
And, I actually did... Okay.
North 12th Avenue is where that store is located. 2050. Eric Jones.
I don't
ask him how it's going. If you're in Pensacola, FLA.
I don't...
Go ahead, buddy.
Anyways, I did try out Arctic Monkeys' Humbug because... Before I listened to Humbug, I listened to three Arctic Monkeys album. Those were the first two in AM. Whatever people say I am, that's what I'm not. Favorite Worst Nightmare and AM. This one was really good. It was really, Humbug was really good. It was really gloomy. It was kind of the more lucid elements of your favorite Worst Nightmare kind of put into a full album. I feel like Favorite Worst Nightmare was a combination of Whatever People Say I Am, That's What I'm Not, and Humbug, and it was kind of, you could easily tell the transition they were making into more lucid stuff and more stuff like that, and it was really good. It's probably my third favorite Arctic Monkeys album. If you want to know how I'd rank them, I'd probably rank them worst to best. There is not really a worst. I liked all of them. AM, Humbug, favorite worst, and it's a tie up here between Favorite Worst Nightmare and Whatever People Say I Am, That's What I'm Not.
Did you ever listen to Tranquility Base?
I have not. No, haven't yet.
I quite like it. I like the vibe of it. It's quite good.
Is that a rap?
I would imagine. I think that's a rap.
Miss Lauryn Hill.
Speaking
next week.
Of raps, we're doing. That was awful.
Dude. I like it.
Gotta end with a zinger, huh?
That was a zinger.
This has been a Go Home Heat production, copyright 2020. Honey, go for home.
Jared.
For you.
KB.
And me, Ray.
Go home.
Go home.